Okay. We still have 13 proposals plus two that we haven't been able to do. So our five-minute break is coming to an end. Oh, I thought we'd done them.
No,
oh.
They need to go.
Is it because of Joe?
Yep.
Okay, so the next proposal is the Don Moyers proposal that Joe was unable to address earlier because of his commitments.
It's Youth and Family
Services. Youth and
Services.
Family Services. And it's on page... Go back to your book one. Don Moyers, Youth and Family Services, is on page...
87.
87, great.
Right? 87. Charles Burton is nodding yes. All right.
Okay, so Joe...
I mean, Don Moyers, I mean, very least, mental health services definitely are needed for Don Moyer. What they're asking, since this is my first time here.
It's okay.
I mean, I don't know if the 160,000 is too big or too small or what it is. However, in what I have known about Don Moyer's Boys and Girls Club, the services they're asking for, there was, I mean, absolutely no reason not to fund it. However, it always goes back to how do we measure it, and how do we know we're getting the best outcomes from it. So that's my take on it, Mr. Brown.
As best as I can tell, the program is doing exactly what we had asked them to do, although I think that there might be some value, and I think the staff will probably have some thoughts about this, in asking for more detailed or improved, how do I put this exactly? Take the application more seriously as an evaluation tool in which you have to justify very clearly what you're doing and why you're doing it, which is not to say that there's none of that in there, but I think it could. I think I'm a little bit in your boat here, in which I'm saying, yeah, I have a lot of reasons to think this is a good program and it's doing the things that we expected it to do, but it would be nice to have it more clearly presented. So... exactly what that means, that's up to them to figure out, I guess, or maybe our staff to consult with them about.
Pretty much try to say, tell us, break it down a little bit more to see what and where the dollars are going and how it's
well,
being
staff, what are the staff members' qualifications? Who are they? You know, that sort of thing could be useful to know.
Oh, and clarifications on differences between the CU change application and this one is the last. Sorry, Elaine.
Yeah, I just, the staff also noted, and I noted, because there are lots of reasons why one program spends more per consumer than another program does. You know, they're not equivalent. But this is one that it's kind of high, the cost per person served. So that's something I would like to know about. So I've been dividing all those out as we go along. That's all.
Great. So moving on to the second one that we had to defer is the...
Macy Members Matter.
which is at the beginning of the second packet.
It is on page
134.
The boys in the Muhammad Youth Club, I mean, I think a lot of times, just sometimes thinking about Muhammad, you think there are resources for everyone. However, the Muhammad Youth Club focuses on many of the young people who live in the trailer parks and the apartments around Muhammad. And so it's enrichment for the kids at Muhammad who don't have the chance to have the other enriching activities within their school system. So what they're asking for is relatively small, and demographically it's not diverse. But most of the communities right outside of Champaign-Urbana are not diverse. It's socially and economically diverse, if you're going to use economics as a way to look at the diversity in this community. So, and I think what they're trying to do for these students or young people matters. It's something that I can see working. I mean, 20 some years ago when it was started in the Bahamas, it was started as a more kind of like a boys and girls club attached to Dunmoyer's, but then it branched out on its own. It was in a small house. I even went there to do some activities with the kids at that time 20 years ago, but I have not been there this time around, so I'd like to still see what goes on there.
Any other comments, questions?
The only comment I have would be the ones that the staff has raised, which I don't need to repeat.
Okay. So moving on, then, we have finished. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ann.
Just looking at this compared to some other programs, they're providing services that look substantial for a significant number of kids for a very small amount of money.
Yes.
Any other comments? So we've made it through all of the Prairie Center Health applications, and we're now moving into Promise Healthcare. And mental health services with Promise was one of Margaret's. So I'll address that from her notes. Promise Healthcare provides integration of mental health and primary care, coordination and collaboration of services with Francis Nelson and Rose Krantz. Federal grants.
Wellness and Justice.
In the first the primary reader was Tom Moore.
So this is a program that is currently being funded at $58,000 level. They're asking for no new funding. They have a total budget of $94,000. They do behavior. It's a priority three behavioral health support for adults with criminal justice involvement and mental health. They are proposing patients' assistance and case management. They want to identify patients needing assistance to complete treatment plans, so their wellness. And with regards to wellness, they want to help people find a medical home where they can receive services, obtain a state ID, help them with their utilities, legal assistance, dental care, food supply, and they do community outreach like the reentry resource fair, do some work with the Love Clinic. They're involved in the Champaign-Urbana Days. They participate in the Disability Expo and do the Latino Fair. What they say under targets is our wellness and justice program will provide support, case management, and benefit enrollment for patients with non-clinical barriers to achieving optimal medical and mental health. Specifically, the program will target patients who have a mental health need, those who have psychosocial support needs, and those who have been identified as having barriers to executing their treatment plan. Our wellness program also serves those who are at risk of or have had an encounter with the criminal justice system. Only because of my own thoughts, I'm wondering, does this include exercise? Is that part of the wellness program or not? And do they partner with First Followers? Otherwise, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't have too much to add to that. I see this as basically case management, which is extremely important for people to be successful.
Next one is RACES. This is the Counseling and Crisis Services, and Joe, you were the primary reader.
RACES has been in the news. But part of the request is relatively small. Mental health, education, and prevention, and also getting advocacy for victims of this. I don't know how you can evaluate a program like this. However, it is a necessity and hopefully something that would hopefully work itself out of a system, but that will not happen. So what they're asking for isn't much. It's just trying to really keep this organization functioning. And it's low. I mean, it's about 5% of its worth.
They should ask for more.
Yeah, I was surprised by the number, by the size of the number.
Other than to notice that they've had, because of the budgetary situation, I guess, in the state, I'm not sure how financially stable this program is now. Do we know
that? Can I answer that?
I mean, we can ask that question. We don't have to answer it now. It just, I think the staff needs to.
The state needs to do its part. And as a community, I know we've been doing, the community has been helping because it's been in the papers and fundraisers have been happening and things like that. However, it's a very important function within the community because it's also, it's more than just champagne. It's a little bit wider than that.
Yeah, I just want to say that as a physician who's worked with women's health for almost 40 years, I have referred many, many women to these services, and I see them as absolutely vital in the community. And, you know, this really comes out of the community, the need for this and the organization for it. So I think it's too bad that they asked for such a small amount of money.
Moving on, I think, is we begin with the Rosecrans.
The Rosecrans set of applications is six or seven. There's seven. The first is Anti-Stigma Education and Recovery Partners, and Susan Fowler is the primary reader.
Okay. So this was a bit of a challenge, and I've got a number of questions about it. Proposes to take the existing Alliance website and further expand or develop it and add other social media outlets. It also wants to encourage and support training a trainer in mental health first aid in the community. It also has funds included for Ebertfest, and 25% of the staff line is also part of the person with criminal justice liaison, and so ensuring that that person also has the credentials to be involved in anti-stigma education would be one question and important to note. I had a number of questions. Is it needed? Is it duplicative? What are the arrangements with other ways of with agencies that have other ways of getting information, including the fact that there is an existing website for the Alliance? And why are they leveraging professional fees and in consulting for Ebertfest is another question. And what are their relationships with other social service mental health agencies in the community who have websites and sources of information? It seemed to be a jumble of issues. There also is no cultural competency plan. The other question was, are the anti-stigma efforts duplicative with the countywide efforts via the website? So there's the AIR website. There's also the website that the Mental Health Board supports, which is the AIR website. And so how does this all fit together? And those are questions for Rosecrans.
Susan? Dr.
Yes.
They do have a cultural competence plan. It's with Rosecrans. It's
so
right in front of it. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Take that one out. Judy?
I'll have to say that I agree with Susan. Why are we doing this? I thought about this a long time. I get a lot of wonderful information from agencies through the mail that I like to have in hand and process. I I think there are lots of ways to get information to the public that would not come from our funds, and I don't know why we would be doing this. I would just need more information.
Other comments? Okay.
Next one is the co-responder team, and the primary reviewer is Kyle Patterson.
So this is through Rosecrans. I guess in a nutshell, what this program is a police officer on the crisis intervention team is paired up with a master's level clinician. Essentially, the purpose is for them to respond to situations involving somebody in mental health crisis. I think that having mental health professionals in the field is something that's really important we need to do. But they had a response to the legal question. Seemed a little vague to me that the family or participants would sign a release. I guess that would be my main question when it comes to this. We are the sole funders. I guess it's going to be a new program.
Viewer is, sorry.
Can I influence?
Elaine?
There. Okay. We have gotten a little more information about this through a letter that Sheila Ferguson sent with some more information about the money, but I think there is also, in my mind, a question that came up in an earlier application about funding that might go, we'd be funding the police department, something from the police department. Certainly the officer who is going to be working with the master's level crisis clinician is Brian Tilson, has just unbelievable resume for this kind of work, for this kind of intervention work. So, but how you do the money is a question I have with the police officer. And also, a staff pointed out that there are some similarities to the program, the Justice Diversion Project in Rantoul. This one is countywide, and that one is not. But I wonder if there would be coordination, some collaboration with that program in Rantoul. Those are my questions.
Other board comments? Julian?
This comment probably...
Turn on the...
This comment, I think, is probably just directed to ourselves and I think we'll probably have to discuss it in, if we're going to do a study session. So a couple of things that came up when I looked at this one, even though I was not a primary reviewer of it, partly because I expected this kind of program to occur under the crisis access and benefits program that we're already funding. That is, I thought there was some redirection or some focus that was going to come out of those funds, which I thought we actually, that was a big part of how I thought we were wanting that program to work. So this is essentially asking for a lot of new money to do some of the things that I thought we already had allocated money for. I'm in favor. The model is great. I love the model. The other thing, there's two other things that came up. I think maybe you mentioned it. One is, if I understood this correctly, and I may be misunderstanding it, we're being asked to fund a law enforcement officer. I'm not sure that that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think we can fund the mental health services that are provided, but can we or should we? I mean, maybe it's policy. I don't know that it's legal or not legal. It's a question of policy. Should we be funding law enforcement? We have, you know, lots of law enforcement in this community. So that the other thing I have to ask about, and this is, again, this is more general than just this one, but I noticed there's a request for 17% indirect costs or administrative costs or however it's referred to, which is quite a change from last year's request. And this would apply probably to all of the Rosecrans programs. So I think that this board needs to have a conversation about what we consider to be the appropriate percentage for indirect costs and when indeed indirect costs should be covered at all. I think there's some need for us, especially to preserve funding, to pay attention to that. So I simply bring it up now because it's obvious to me in this particular proposal, but I think it applies to other things as well.
So let me just note that we're keeping a list of policy questions for further review and discussion, including ICR, whether or not agencies are collaborating and should have letters of support or memorandums of understanding. And so we will get to all of those at the study session. But meanwhile, we still have another 12 proposals to move
we
through.
Oh my. So well, I'm done.
The next proposal is
criminal justice. And Kyle, no, that's. Is it Margaret White who's the primary reader?
Yeah. Okay. Criminal justice, yes. So this is serves adults in the criminal justice system through screening, case management, and treatment. It's a countywide program, priority 3, uses dedicated case management. Adults involved, dedicated case management for adults involved in the justice system. The Mental Health Board is the sole funder. The program seeks to add another full-time case manager. And Margaret's question was, what is the relationship of the Rosecrans Criminal Justice program to the Furry Center Criminal Justice Program? Are they collaborating, coordinating, and are there other funding sources that should also be considered given that this is asking for 100% of the funding? The previous proposal received $100,000 from Reentry Council, $100,000 in programs and fees insurance, and $88,000 from DASA. So $300,000 in it's 100% support. So other sources of support were very big for Margaret. Sorry, Kyle.
I guess just to echo our first question, like the one thing that just came up to me is, you know, are there potential redundancies and, you know, what kind of collaboration and coordination is going on with other agencies?
Other board member comments?
Again, the large grant. Yes, it was a little.
And it relates back to the question of money that was available in the prior year and why it's not available this year, and the idea of resource leveraging.
If I may, the prior year's contract was, in terms of award by the Mental Health Board, was $284,000. There were other sources of revenue in the program, but it didn't support what the staff positions that we're being asked to support. We're essentially being asked to support the same positions that we supported last year with the addition of another staff position. Those positions provide case management within the jail as folks reenter the community. It also provides some support to drug court participants with mental health issues that are needing access and coordination in terms of accessing mental health services. It also has a case manager that provides services to folks with a history of involvement with the criminal justice system out in the community. Essentially, the funding is for case management services across a number of different positions.
So it's similar to last year's with an increase for an additional staff person?
Yes. And then the percentage of mental health board support also increases for the positions.
Okay.
But it's essentially for the same.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah.
Next is crisis access and benefits, and the primary reader was Julian Rappaport.
It's hard to consider this in the absence of the program that is also being proposed, the co-responder program. I think we have to somehow think about these things together. And the questions I have about this is the operation of a 24-hour telephone crisis line, I think, as well as the master's level clinicians and who do screening, and also presumably to help law enforcement when they have a crisis person in the community. Although I think most of the services actually take place when they're at the emergency room. My main question about this has to do with perhaps my misunderstanding of the past agreements, in which I thought that this was to be more focused on work with law enforcement than it apparently seems to be. And what I don't quite follow is this model of, again, the staff will have to help me understand this. It looks to me like there's 11 different clinicians being supported at 12% of their time, which makes it pretty hard, at least for me, to figure out, well, what are we getting for our expenditures here? When it's divided up in such a fashion, it's just unclear to me how we ought to think about it. Or, you know, what are we paying for? What is it we want to have, and how can we know that when it sort of blends into what looks like the general activities of the organization? So maybe that's a great model. Maybe it's not, but it's a little hard for me to follow it. And also to relate this to that proposal that I commented on earlier. So I have the same questions about indirect costs and that sort of thing. It sounds totally critical, but I'm not criticizing the quality of the services. I have no, but there's something about the structure of it and the focus of it that I don't quite grasp.
And Tom's the secondary.
I didn't have any questions about this. I'm thinking that Crisis Line has been around for quite a while. Is that right? And at one point, I know we considered not funding it, and it was not a good idea to not have at least that emergency access in the community. However, it gets folded into the overall organization or whatever, I don't know. But the program itself, if I'm not mistaken, is pretty seasoned and important for our community. So there may be a different way to fund it. I don't know.
And I'd like to ask us to consider, is it a structural issue in the way in which we request proposals? Because it seems, as Julian pointed out, that the co-responders and the crisis access and benefits should be more unified, and it's not. And in fact, the crisis access and benefits, part of the rationale is that they don't interface with law enforcement. And so now there's an effort to interface with law enforcement on the co-responders and just trying how does the agency coordinate between the co-responders and the crisis access and benefits, I guess, to benefit the most from the two programs?
It sounds like the question is, like, are we funding programs or are we funding the agency itself?
Right.
And, like, I continually have questions about funding police activities. If they want to do that, they should do it, I think. But that's probably a thin line for us to try to walk anyhow, to figure what which are we doing.
Because I know at Parkland, we have usually goes a team to get trained in this crisis intervention.
Briefly, because we're running out of time.
Okay. Just a clarification. On page 193, it says 41.5%, the cost for the law enforcement officer is included in the professional fees line in the amount of $92,000, as is the gas vehicle insurance, $2,500 for lease rental of police vehicles, $16,500. That's in there.
Oh, okay.
That's a questionable expense.
Yeah, did not see that.
Yeah. So that's on page 193 in book two.
One last comment on.
Can I make one comment?
Sure.
Maybe for us, Tom, as a board, maybe we ought to have some discussion about, apparently, police work is becoming expanded, and they're doing a whole lot more than just what they used to do or what they did when I was a kid. And so some of this mental health involvement of them may be necessary, and that people don't have anywhere else to go except to the police. So maybe we ought to have a discussion about put that
on the
down,
policy list.
Yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
For the role of police, it may be changing.
Because we also know that corrections and jails have become the largest mental institutions nationally. So we've got to find a way to law enforcement on one side, but also how do we deal with mental health issues?
Okay. Well, I think we have some questions for Rosecrans that we'll put into writing and that should help clarify some of the issues. The next one is Parenting with Love and Limits, and Elaine.
This is the other half of the Parenting with Love and Limits. We heard about the extended care part for the more serious people with more serious emotional disturbances and system involvement, and that's up with the Prairie Center group. If you put those two together, this one is the front end, which is providing services to juvenile justice, diversion services to youth with emotional disturbances, but less contact than the extended care. But if you put those two programs together, it's over $600,000. And this is the other Savannah Family Institute supervised one, and they do good things, and the Youth Assessment Center can refer to this program. But the staff has to be trained in this model, and what that means is when there's staff turnover, you can't just hire somebody and put them right in. They have to be trained, and as a result, in the first two quarters of 2017, fiscal years 2017, the number of people, the TPCs, fell as low as 23 because there was staff turnover, and then you can't quickly replace those staff. And I think, again, as we said with the first part of this, it seems to me to be quite a problem generated by the way this is set up, just in terms of how many people can you serve and the amount of money that is spent with the Savannah Family Institute kind of, you know, on top of this. So I don't know if we can. There's language in another proposal, a very different proposal, that said eventually we hope this can be locally owned. And I wonder about that for this kind of program. Can, as Susan was mentioning with the first part of this, the parenting with love and limits, can it sometime be locally owned so that it can be more efficient?
The program is the property of Savannah Family Institute, and I doubt, and you have to pay for the license, and I don't think that you would be able to use the model without contracting with them for the license and everything else that involves. We've had a fairly long history with the program. It's, at least from my perspective, has been fairly successful. Mm-hmm. It is, and I can share the evaluation data. Ian asked about that earlier. Mm-hmm. I can share that with the board if you care to see it. It is an expensive program.
Mark, I think maybe a question might be for Rosecrans. Are there alternative programs to PLL that might provide the same kind of impact and effect with no disrespect to PLL? It is an evidence-based program. There's good research behind it. But when we start to look at requests that exceed available funds by $900,000, we start to look at the big proposals and say, are there other options? And so that would just be a question to send to both Rosecrans and Prairie Center, I think. Okay. So moving on.
I know it's 8 o'clock. We still have...
This is Substance Use Services Program, and the primary is Judy O'Connor.
And I will make this short. I read it, and it is to serve adults and youth and families who are in need of substance use assessment from an Illinois Department of Alcohol and Substance Abuse, those with substance abuse or co-occurring substances use and mental health conditions. And I read this and I thought, we have this program at Prairie Center. How is this different? That would be my question. It's a new proposal. And we are the only funding source.
Don't have much to add to it. It's, I know that substance abuse and assessments, timely assessments are really needed within the community. And having the groups that help support treatment and education is still important, but is it the duplication of services already?
Other board comments, Anne?
Yeah, so what the question is, how are Rosecrans and Prairie Center coordinating their services? And I would ask both agencies that.
Absolutely. Any other questions?
And it looks like we're just plain contributing to their residential traditional residential program for men, which is what they banned the Trump Center into. And I don't see specifically how that $14,000 is being used, except it says for personnel. So the total budget is $255,000. So we'd be giving them a small amount of money for their transitional housing program. But it was unclear what we were, other than just contributing.
Okay. And the secondary reviewer was Margaret. You think you're tired.
Yeah.
I'm being Margaret and Susan.
Oh.
So, is there coordination between this and First Followers was one of her questions. That was actually the only question. Because First Followers followers is also looking for looking at housing. Okay. Any other comments from the board? Okay. Rural Co-op Disability Expo. That's me. Okay. So this is kind of a new proposal, and it's a little bit different. It is a proposal that shifts the running of the Disability Expo from the Champaign County Mental Health Board to a grant that the Rural Champaign Co-op, Special Ed Co-op, is requesting. It would run the expo for spring 2018, which has very high visibility. The Disability Expo has been something that the board staff have done in the past, and it is a fairly intensive personnel effort. The proposers will be involved with the directory and the website. And so I think more clarification about how the cooperative will be engaged in subcontracts and some more data on the needs and the utilization. Sorry, I'm not being terribly coherent here. What's the relationship with the Alliance website? Is there duplication with other websites? Would be two questions. So, because the website is part of it. More details on linking resource directory to the website would be helpful. And I'm making the assumption, but it would be helpful to know that the amount requested, the $66,000 or $67,000, is a reasonable transfer from staff time and funds that were used under administrative expenses in the Mental Health Board to the co-op. I believe that there was a request for someone to become a vendor for the Disability Expo, and the co-op is right. offering to do right. that. So just clarifying for the board the whether the money is being moved from administration to grant, and if this is a good bang for the buck. If I can repeat Anne's comment.
So we could, I think the writers of the proposal can answer the question, but we can also provide a written response to the question. We could do that together. Some of the questions are kind of for us and for you too.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Was there anybody who was, Judy, you were the second on this.
I just wanted to add that it raises awareness of disability issues. It's a wonderful, expo. Mm-hmm. Not only does the coordinator, they have a steering committee meetings and working subcommittees meeting around the year. So they put in a lot of hours. They have fundraisers. Their time is put into something that is beneficial to our residents. And when you see the parents, the children, the opportunities to be social, it's a great benefit to our community. And I didn't understand the technical part of it, the website, but I just need more understanding of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If it's very quick, because we still have three more proposals.
Currently, the Mental Health Board pays 58% of the total costs of the expo, and the DD Board pays 42% of the total costs of the expo. So you pay that through our administrative budget. So if we are to move that out of the administrative budget and into contributions and grants, we'll have to be very careful about where inadvertently creating some unfair situation for either board. This started as a focus on disabilities and has become, it's all sorts of healthcare providers and people with behavioral health conditions go for resources and people with other kinds of disabilities. So it's sort of hard to figure out what slice of the pie everyone should own. So we'll have to be very careful with that.
So if I can just say, it would be helpful if the staff would work with the agency to make sure that the proposal's clear in terms of what the Mental Health Board is paying from its grant funds that are available and what the Disabilities nothing. Board is.
It would take nothing out of current grants.
And that just needs to be clarified, right, that you're moving money into grants from administration.
Right.
Because it's very confusing right now.
Right.
And we can have a conversation about, I think there needs to be a conversation that's broader. It just has to do with the nature of our relationship
with the DD board. But now is not the time.
No, we don't have to have it now.
No, we can't.
It's an example of
it
the
is.
Kind of
yep.
issue
yep. exactly.
that needs to be known.
Yep,
okay.
It's on the list.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so we probably shouldn't have even had that one with a lack of clarity at this point.
Well, it's an application that was made to this board.
It's an application that was made. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So.
Well, it was made to this board.
Let's move on, because I think the next one is the UP Center. Is that right? Okay, we're getting to the end of the line. Thank you, UP Center, for hanging in there. And the primary reviewer on that is Tom.
Say the UP Center is requesting $19,000 from us. Apparently, we funded them to the tune of $19,000 last year. Their total budget is $31,000, and I guess we're funding about 51% of the total budget. This is a priority two program for system of care for youth and family program coordinator. One thing I straight up appears that how the clinic coordinated by Rex Services have not like clinical crisis intervention, risk assessment, risk reduction strategies, support groups. And they say for their target population, the services of the UP Center of Champaign County are targeted to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning LGBTQ individuals residing in Champaign County. The Children, Youth, and Families program serves primarily the LGBTQ adolescents, families, and children dealing with issues related to the stigmatization of their gender and sexual identification. The target LGBTQ family populations include same-sex couples, parents of children, and the target children population for this program includes children of any age in Champaign County who are dealing with issues pertaining to the stigmatization of their gender. even though this is written down as a priority two program, I think it should also be a priority four in terms of innovation.
Innovative.
And if we had a scale of from about the importance, it went from 1 to 10, that it would probably be 10. This is we should be proud to support this program, and again, maybe support it more than this measly little $19,000.
Anne's the secondary.
Yeah, I would second everything that Tom said, and this is the only identified LGBTQ program that we're supporting, which is too bad that the other ones don't even have anything, especially Rosecrans, which I don't know if you're still here or not, but why don't you have anything like that? And Prairie Center, why don't you have anything like that? And this would be seen by me as a suicide prevention program, since the suicide rate among LGBTQ youth is the highest in the nation. Thank you.
Kyle?
Sorry to be redundant. I just want to echo her point again, because I think it needs to be said. I think it's like 5 times the suicide rate of the average for teens. So, I find it really, I won't say alarming, that this is the only program that we have that is doing something that's focused on that group. Because we do a lot of at-risk focusing, and it's just...
Well, we should say that it's the only one that's asked us for funding. It's not that there aren't any others in the community, so we need to be careful there.
Okay.
Okay, other comments?
It's the only one I know about.
Other comments? All right, so then United Cerebral Palsy Land of Lincoln. Joseph?
It's a new request, and this new request accounts for almost 75% of their budget. It works with cerebral palsy, and it's with a mental health board and a disabilities board. It seems to be might be some redundancy within it. It's providing money management and some of the necessary skills to individuals who need these services and job training to create independence.
Mm-hmm.
However, it seems as if the main reasoning I see here is because when DHS closes some of the cases, then there's that donut hole.
Mm-hmm.
And this might come into play, but I also think the DD board sometimes could also be doing some of that.
There's a very clear distinction.
Okay.
The DD board cannot fund these services for people who don't have a DD diagnosis. The agency discovered that it was getting a higher number of referrals of people with mental health conditions.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julian, you're the secondary?
I had the same question you had, but I already had gotten the answer.
The question that I have, it may just be that I missed it, or maybe it's not in here. I know they've been doing this kind of work with DD people. So the question that I didn't know is, are they qualified? Do they have experience? Are they prepared to deal with people with mental illness issues? Those would be somewhat different. And I just wanted to make sure that the staff is appropriately qualified. And that maybe they answered that. I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't see it. So.
Well, let's ask anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Any other comments before we move to the last one? Okay. The last one is Urbana Neighborhood Connections, and I'm the primary on that. And Urbana Neighborhood Connections is a program that has provided after-school support and summer support, or after-school tutoring and school-out support in the Urbana neighborhoods, for the Urbana School District, or children who live in Urbana. They do after-school tutoring. They have funds also coming from other agencies like United Way.
They also have an eight-week summer camp. It's very much part of the priority to systems of care. Could be considered comparable to efforts done by the Mahomet Blast and the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club. They have increased their request. It's still very modest. It's $19,500. And the increase, I believe, is related to wanting to pay a licensed social worker to work with students who are in the HOPE program, where they are focusing a great deal on helping students with challenging experience, particularly social-emotional learning skills. So it seems like an absolutely appropriate system of care proposal to continue, and the increase is quite modest, even though it may be it's a 0%. No, that's there is an increase, but it's really quite modest. Okay. The secondary is it Judy?
Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to go visit the Urbana Neighborhood Connections, and the thing that impressed me the most was the dedication of the people who I met with and how proud they were of this center that they have put together with innovative ways. They've brought together equipment to make this a beautiful place for these young children to be. And I think it's, they have the U of I involved to support their technology. They have opened another center in the Bethel Church. They are involved in the schools with the school social workers. They know these kids. They know these families. They are preventive. They're making a difference in our community. And I'm really proud to have had the opportunity to meet with them.
Any other comments from board members?
This is prevention at its best. And I think prevention looks at the whole child, and this organization does. And they're doing some college prep. Some
very brief. No, there's not new business. Sorry, there's only old business.
There's one important thing.
Oh, go ahead.
There's a meeting schedule in there, and that gives us the opportunity to say, let's have a study session on May 17th, and let's look at all the written responses to the questions that you've asked tonight. And I'm not sure I got all the questions just right, so confirmation from you all about what you want answered will be really helpful, and then we can... Agencies can provide the written responses by May 8th, 4:30, and we'll put together a packet for that study session.
So we've had the study session tentatively on the calendar. I guess I would like to make sure that we will have a quorum, a show of hands of those who can come on May 17th.
I'm working late, so I'm chaperoning on 8th.
Okay. It'll be at this time in this room, May 17th. And then we have a board meeting scheduled on May 24th and a backup on May 31st and June 21st as needed for finalizing.
No, June 21st is too late.
Too late. May 31st, sorry, I was looking too far. May 24th and May 31st for finalizing the award, the ranking of the awards or the decision criteria. Sorry, Anne.
I know we want to adjourn, but I have two things that I would like to share with the group. Number one, I want to thank Susan for the tremendous work that you did of putting together this process. And I'm sure I'm not speaking just for myself, although this is my opinion right now, is that this is such a vast improvement over what we've done in previous years. And I think it speaks to open meetings and transparency and getting information and communicating. And I found the process to be very good. So thank you very much. I'm not surprised that it took 3 hours, but it's a tremendous amount of information. I do have one other thing to say, but did you want to speak to that? Turn it on.
It's a related comment, just that I think the staff deserves tremendous praise for the detail and obsessiveness of their summaries. They are very careful, and I think that bodes well for the future. I hope that the applicants are paying attention to how careful they are. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Okay, I'm going to take over again. Thank you. I agree with that completely, and thank you very much to the staff. You're all very much appreciated. And then the second thing is I just want to congratulate all of us for what happened last week at Ebertfest, because I know that our involvement, or the AIM involvement with, or AIR, I keep getting it wrong, involvement with Ebertfest has been somewhat controversial, but it was a huge success. And I think we can be very, very proud of our involvement. Lynn was interviewed on the radio. I've heard her at least once, I think more than once she was on there. Excellent. And the Champaign County Mental Health Board and Alliance for Inclusion and Respect was mentioned from the stage on multiple occasions. The film that we helped sponsor was one of the best documentaries I've ever seen as a documentary, plus, you know, dealing with issues of mental health, issues of women in sports, issues of minorities in sports, so many important issues that came out. And I understand that Chandra Somerville has a DVD so that people who haven't seen it could possibly arrange to see it. And you have permission for us to see it.
I have permission to use it as an educational tool and to share it with the community.
Yeah. And Chandra also arranged for an educational session. So it was a huge success. Actually, Chaz Ebert said that she personally sponsored this this documentary, and helped it to come to fruition because of the Alliance for Inclusion and Respect being involved with Ebertfest over the years. So I think the ripple effect is huge. You never know what you're getting for your money when you support whatever you're supporting. And it might seem a little tangential to some people, but I think this last week was just a huge success. So congratulations to everybody. And thank you, Chandra.
Tom.
I know you're trying to finish up. But
oh, that's okay. Now that we're through the proposals, I'm just... Go ahead.
Because I'll forget what I'm going to say.
Say it.
I'd like to suggest to the staff, or to the board, not the staff, to the board, that we have an opportunity to rethink what we mean by system of care. Because as I listen to these 40 proposals, there's a clump there, and so maybe we need to rethink what we're talking about. And if this whole thing with the police is beginning to be a big issue and we're going to be involved in it, is that what we mean by system of care to include? So it's just kind of a time to rethink where we're, because what we're, these are individual programs, but we have, these are individual programs that are supposed to be serving a broader idea. And are we serving that broader idea, or do we want to change that or whatever?
We do. We talk about it in big doses and small doses. But I just wanted to let you know, in case you don't know, SAMHSA is paying for a team from Champaign County to attend a best practices training in June, and Kyle Patterson is going, and I'm going, and we're taking Alan Jones and also Julia Reitz with us to Washington, D.C. for 3 days of training. on best practices. So when we come back, we may have some insights into how what we're doing here fits in. And then we've also applied to be considered as a pilot community for a demonstration, for a one-year demonstration.
And before we adjourn, I'd just like to say I know that tonight was a lot of work. I appreciate all the work that everyone did in terms of reading proposals. But part of the hope was, and this was mentioned a year ago when we started talking about having primary and secondary reviewers, is that we would get a better big picture or begin to see where there are gaps in the big picture. And I think that by not having to read 40 proposals, but hearing about 40 proposals was one step in that direction. So thanks.